T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Harper. I love Ronald Acuna.
Yeah.
So I don't hate things. I think I just found my most redeeming quality
is
that I don't have hate in my heart. I don't hate things. I get agitated by people, but I don't hate things that don't make sense to hate, at least from my perspective. Anyway, congrats to the Braves.
Story number 3.
Nike has acknowledged earlier today that Antonio Brown is no longer a, quote, Nike athlete. I don't think really any sensible person could disagree with Nike's stance. Like, you cannot have Antonio Brown representing your...
You're right.
Maybe your football team if you're the Patriots, but certainly not your apparel company if you're Nike. And I saw some people earlier today say, why wouldn't Nike stand by this guy if there's no actual proof that he did what he's accused of doing, you know, as it pertains to the rape allegation from Brittany Taylor?
They're not in the business of that.
Well, how about that? Even if they said, listen, we fundamentally don't believe that Antonio Brown is guilty of rape. We don't think he did this. And therefore, we're going to stand by him. It wouldn't be popular. I agree. Probably can't do it. But here's the thing. Take the rape and just shove it over here. Just focus on everything else.
Sure.
It's everything else in that Sports Illustrated story from earlier this week. Like, you know, stiffing one person after another, multiple women accusing you of domestic violence, multiple women accusing you of sexual assault. Like, it's just like you're just a bad person.
Yeah.
And I think we've probably known most of it for a while, but to have it all compacted into one story the way that Sports Illustrated story did, if you're Nike, that guy cannot be a part of your quote-unquote family anymore. So I think he's already lost his endorsement deal with his helmet, and now you throw the Nike deal on top. So if the question becomes, is Antonio Brown ever going to actually pay a price for his personal shortcomings? Maybe not the price that some of us think that he should, but he's already paying a price. He is no longer affiliated with Nike.
Story number 4.
The commercial appeal endorsed a mayoral candidate earlier today, and it is not the woman who said it, she's glad she can't have white babies because she might have to kill one thinking that they are damned. She tweeted that once upon a time, of course, talking about Tammy Sawyer. The endorsement is just to reelect the current mayor, Jim Strickland. That is from the commercial appeal. But the Tammy Sawyer stuff, she was, and I haven't talked about this at all on the air, I don't think, like, she was a long shot anyway for lots of different reasons, but like, you just can't have this stuff. And I don't know her at all, and I'm certain she was just joking and she thought that was funny back in 2009. And I don't really think if she had a white baby she would kill it. But you can't tweet stuff like that. You can't say things like that. Like, you can't joke about killing babies. Like,
no.
You just can't joke about killing babies. Maybe it's funny to some people, but if you're running for mayor someday, it could come back to get you. And it's not just like she said, I'm agitated by babies. I'd strangle one of these little dudes. Like, she made it white babies, which is just going to be a problem. So lesson for everybody. A, don't tweet about killing babies that are perhaps opposite your ethnicity. But also, if you do it, just delete it before you run for mayor, because somebody will dig it up if you don't, and then you have to get in front of cameras and microphones and explain that you really don't want to kill white babies. You were just tweeting. Jeff Calkins up next.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
SAS, the most successful sports information system ever created. 25 straight years of winning. Featured on CNBC, Fox News, ESPN. SAS has not only shown profit every year since its inception, it is completely transparent, rating winners in unit values of 1 to 3 units, 3 units being a max play. SAS is releasing a 3-unit max play tonight, absolutely free on a recorded message. Call now, 800-741-1122. confident in this system, and so certain of its results, they want you to try it absolutely free, no obligations. Call now and get the winner of Tennessee Jacksonville tonight, absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. Profits of 7 units tonight, absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. That's 1-800-741-1122. Tennessee Jacksonville, free.
Joe Stewart Body Shop is the best body shop in town. They've got the original location at 2916 Summer Avenue, and they've also got Joe Stewart Collision of Collierville, family-owned and operated since 1969. And they've been voted a Memphis Most Best Car Repair Shop for the last 5 years running. They're certified by Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Acura, and Honda, but they can work on any make or model. Take your car to Joe Stewart Body Shop, because taking your car anywhere else would be an accident.
It's hot outside, but there is something that's hotter than the temperatures these days, and you guessed it. It's the deals at James Davis. This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about James Davis for years. One of the best clothing stores in the United States. It's where I get my suits for television work with CBS Sports. But you need to understand, they have so much more than suits. They have 5 pocket pants in every fabric and fit. And good news, the brand new Stant Custom Fit fabrics for fall have arrived. I know you've heard me talk about these Stant Custom Fit dress shirts before, but it's worth repeating. You get 3 measurements. Take it at James Davis, and 10 minutes later, you're going to have a custom fit shirt ordered. It'll be ready in just 9 days. They start at only $98. Trust me when I tell you, once you get Stant Custom Fit shirts, you'll never buy off the rack again. Paul Bettany suits are still 2 for only $7.95 at James Davis. So if you got a wedding party, don't rent tuxedos. That's a waste. Get suits for your groomsmen, suits that fit perfectly and can be used again. We have one of the best clothing stores in the country right here in Memphis. You'd be a fool not to take advantage of it. It's James Davis, Laurelwood Shopping Center on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
Time for another Action Network Flash. Tonight, Tennessee travels to Jacksonville, where it's a 1.5-point favorite. Over 70% of the tickets and money are on Mike Vrabel's team. For all of the up-to-the-minute betting info, download the free Action Network app today.
Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
And somebody on Twitter, Ben, asked how much of the Cubs' success over the past 4-plus years is connected to Theo Epstein as opposed to Joe Maddon. And, like, obviously, Theo's a wizard. Like, he deserves tons of credit. I'm just saying, I don't necessarily believe if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, if it ain't broke but you can make it better, then go ahead and break it. But I just don't know that you're going to be able to upgrade that manager if you're the Cubs. Upgrade over Joe Maddon. And so if you can't upgrade, what are you doing? It's not like the guy fell on his face. He's still, as of right now, despite all these injuries, heading into the night, you know, got a real chance to make the postseason, maybe even win the NL Central. Anyway, get back to baseball another time. Right now, Jeff Calkins is joining me. He's award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show, and he joins me now. Mr. Calkins, we wondered yesterday around this time, you know, exactly how you were going to spend your birthday. We didn't know. You didn't have big plans other than to be on a panel. And yet I got my answer last night. You spent your birthday dispelling misconceptions about Harvard on social media, which I appreciate.
Yeah, no, I jumped in on your column there. What people don't really realize about Harvard and about any Ivy League school is they think, I can't go there. It's only rich people who go there. You know, I couldn't possibly afford it. And the truth of the matter is, if you don't have a lot of money, you can't get a better deal, apart from the education, than going to Harvard or pretty much any Ivy League school, because they're free. they literally, and it's weird. Someone said, why don't they talk about this more? And they talk about it all the time, like because they know this misconception's out there. But if you as a family make less than 60 grand, 60 or 65, I don't have the number in front of me now, it's 100% free. So if you have the choice between going to the University of Memphis or Chattanooga or Harvard or whatever, the truth of the matter is Harvard is for people who are and honestly, I don't know what the mean family income is here, but for your basic middle class, lower middle class, you're better off going to Harvard. Yep. Than anywhere else, because it's going to be 100% free cost of attendance. And not only is it free under 60, from 60 to a family income of $150,000, the most you will pay is 10% of the bill at Harvard. Now, that's, you know, the bill at Harvard is probably $70,000 a year, cost of attendance. The most you'll pay if you make less than $150,000 as a family is 10% of that. So if you can get into Harvard, now, mind you, I couldn't get in today, and most people can't get in. There's a freaking 4% admit rate at Harvard. But if you can get into Harvard, you should probably go to Harvard. Unless, you know, listen, the only people who pay, the weird thing is, but they give out no merit aid, right? They don't say, oh, man, you're a genius, so you get a scholarship. If you can be literally the smartest youth in America, and if your parents make $1 million a year, you're paying full freight. That's what they do. They do entirely need-based scholarships. But for basketball players, and that was how it fits into your column, what it means is, no, they don't have athletic scholarships, none. They have zero athletic scholarships. It's easier to get in if you're a great athlete. There's no question about that. But most basketball players come from circumstances where they qualify, if not for free Harvard, because the family makes less than $60,000. And that's a large portion of the very talented basketball players in America today, but certainly less than $150,000. And so they're paying very little. No one graduates from Harvard with loans. They just don't, because they figure out what you can pay and then they pay the rest.
Right. You go to Ole Miss. I think most Ole Miss graduates are going to come out of Ole Miss with student loan debt. Most Memphis graduates are going to come out of Memphis with student loan debt. I came out of Memphis with student loan debt. And that's like the big, as you pointed out, and I appreciated you doing it, misconception about the Ivies, specifically Harvard. They don't want their students graduating with crippling or any student loan debt at all. So the system is set up where you're not going to. They have a system in place where they can determine based on all sorts of, you know, financial documents, but like they've got a system in place. They can figure out what you can reasonably afford to pay and they make you pay that. And to your point, 20% of Harvard students paid nothing to go to Harvard. And anybody whose family makes below $150,000 annually is going to pay no more than 10%. So it is probably way more, not probably, definitely, one of the more affordable institutions of higher learning in this country, even if the perception of it from a distance is, oh, my God, I could never afford to go there. The truth is you can't get in, probably, but if you can get in, I don't care who you are, you can afford to go there.
Yeah, it's the people who it's not affordable for, I mean, it is affordable. So, and this is basically, like, Northwestern's the same way where my son goes. It's 100% need-based, basically. That's all they do. They just do need-based financial aid. They don't do any, what, there's no band scholarships? There's no, nothing. They just say, we see how much money you make. Here's what you can afford to pay and the rest of it. And then there's no loans. Most have no loans. I mean, Harvard has no loans. They do have some work study, like you could, whatever, as part of the package, but they don't want you to graduate with loans. So they say, this is what we think you can pay. We think you can pay $12,000 as a family or whatever it is, and the rest of it's free. Now, you might object. Like, there are kids, I know there are kids, for example, there are kids who go to Lausanne, whose parents make plenty of money, whatever, who get into Harvard or get into, I think this happened. There was a kid recently in Memphis, I think, who got into every Ivy League school and went to Alabama.
Right.
Because I think his parents were doctors. And so if he had gone to Harvard, he was going to have to pay $70,000 a year,
right?
Now, his parents might have made, I'm making this up, hypothetical kid now. His parents might have made $500 a year. So he was going to have to pay $70,000 a year. And Alabama, because they actually do give merit aid, Alabama was going to be free. And so for that kid, for rich people, it's not the most affordable place. But for poor people, it's absolutely, you cannot get more affordable than Harvard. That's simply true. You cannot get more affordable than Harvard. It is. Now, a lot of people argue their endowment is so big, and I don't know what the number is now. It's crazy. that a lot of people think it's immoral for them to charge anything for any, like anyone anything, right? Why are you charging anyone anything? You have so much money, you could have everyone free for the rest of eternity, and they could. But I think their argument is, listen, if Bill Gates' kid wants to come to Harvard, why shouldn't we go ahead and charge them for it, and we'll just use that money for, you know, to more research or more good things or whatever else. But they could. I mean, they're so rich, they could have everyone could go free there if they wanted.
The endowment's $38.3 billion.
Right.
I mean, it's great. Like, you could buy, like, half the NBA.
Right. Like it's ridiculous.
No,
and then just think how much that money makes every year, right? They don't need to charge anything, and they charge $70,000 for something as cost of attendance. But again, and then all those fits, because you pointed out a top 60 player, a top 60 basketball player chose Harvard, which seems unconventional, except you are maybe arguing that it makes some sense.
It makes all the sense in the world. And the reason it makes all the sense in the world is because I don't know this young man's family background, but he is an international student who moved here. I'm just going to assume he ain't paying much, if anything, to go to Harvard. And and I'll get back to that point in a moment. What I appreciated about you jumping into this is that, when I was talking to Bennett earlier, I was like, listen, I'm not a Memphian who hates Nashville. I'm not a Mets fan who hates the Braves or the Phillies. I'm not a Memphis graduate who hates Tennessee. Like, I really don't hate things, but what I do get agitated by are people, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, who are so anxious to chime in on things when they don't know what they're talking about. And, you know, so when I tweet the column yesterday, it's like a top 60 prospect, rejected offers from traditional high majors to commit to Harvard. My question, why don't more talented prospects who are statistically unlikely to ever make the NBA choose this path? And the overwhelming majority of responses were because it costs too much money, because you'll go broke. And it's just like, none of you, first off, it's in the column. I actually addressed this issue in the column, so you didn't even read the column. And either way, you don't know what you're talking about. And I don't know why people are so anxious to tweet or Facebook about things they don't know anything about. It drives me nuts. So I appreciated you, and I don't want to fight every one of these fights on my own. So I appreciated you jumping in and fighting the fight for me while I was dealing with other things around the house. As for why I think it's smart, it's because you exit college a winner no matter what happens. Like, if you are ranked outside of the top 50 and you go to Harvard, if you develop into an NBA prospect, which is unlikely, but you actually do it, they'll find you there. They can find you at Weber State, Washington, Davidson, Kentucky, or Murray State. It doesn't matter. The scouting is so great at the NBA level, it doesn't matter where you go to school. If you're a legitimate NBA prospect, you will be identified and drafted accordingly. So you're not, I saw some people say, well, you don't want to go to, if you were really a top 60 player in America, you dream of going to the NBA. You don't want to give up on that dream. You're not giving up on the dream. You're just going somewhere that you won't be as visible as if you go to Duke or Kentucky, but the NBA people will still know your existence. And if you show yourself to be good enough, they'll be there to watch you every game. So
there are, by the way, I mean, what was the Hollins kid who went to Minnesota?
Andre.
Yeah, Andre. It wasn't what there was Lionel Hollins' kid, but it wasn't that one. It was the other Hollins kid. They both went to Minnesota, right? But
yes,
went to Minnesota. He had been heavily recruited by Harvard.
Sure.
And Tommy Amaker even called me, like I had any connection to it, and said, you know, how do we get this kid to go to Harvard? And he chose Minnesota, and that's fine. Like, I get that. If you want that, I get that. And that was actually, I think he wanted to be coached by Tubby. I think they were some whatever. I think Tubby recruited him, and that's fine. Now, and Harvard's not for everybody. It is simply true the environment is different at Harvard than it is at Ole Miss. I actually know someone, a baseball player, who was recruited to Vanderbilt and left after a year to go and is now at Ole Miss, and it's just much happier at Ole Miss. Because at Vanderbilt they had to work all the time, you know. Like, it is different. It's people work all the time at Harvard. That's just true. They do. They're not. Most people. people aren't drinking Tuesday nights at Harvard. They're just not, right? And so I expect most baseball players aren't necessarily drinking Tuesday nights at Ole Miss either, because I imagine it's pretty you're pretty locked down. I don't really know what life is like there. But it is a different deal. There was a kid who played football in Memphis, and I'm only talking about it because he went public with it recently, because he lost his scholarship at the University of Memphis. And he said he was stripped of the scholarship. There's some question about that. I'm not going to get into that one way or another. But he went on Facebook and he said, I was recruited by Harvard. I could have gone to Harvard, and I chose Memphis because I wanted to play football in Memphis. And all that's all true. And I know that kid because I interviewed him. He's a great kid. But I do think if you have an opportunity, the world is just different there. Like, I don't mean it like it's better, but you do meet people. And if you don't want them, that's fine. But you do meet people there who you don't meet everywhere else. You know, here I am. Like, you and I had very different experiences, and yet we have the same basic, you know, place and career. But, you know, I have lots of college classmates. You know, my roommate's mayor of Anchorage, Alaska. Like, I mean, it's just you do. It is a different experience. If you don't want that experience, that's fine. But it's the kind of experience that will stand you in good stead if you can get in. And by the way, there's no better way to get into Harvard than be awesome at basketball or football.
Right. That's
literally the best way. That's better than being good at physics, because there's lots and lots of people who have 800 straight 800s on their SATs. There's not a lot of people who can play basketball like this kid.
No, and you might be hesitant to say it because you are a Harvard graduate, but it's a different deal. Like, when you introduce yourself as a Harvard graduate, not that you walk around just screaming, I went to Harvard all day, but like, these are the types of things that come up in conversation. So where did you go to school? Harvard. Like, Aiden's got a little buddy who he's met at Lausanne, and he's hanging out with yesterday. And when I was asking Aiden about him, he was like, yeah, both his parents are lawyers. They both went to Columbia. And like, that was like, it sounds different. It gets your attention in a way that I went to Ole Miss, or I went to Memphis, or I went to Mississippi State simply does not. In addition to like opening all these actual doors or figurative doors for you. So my point is, if you do end up being an NBA prospect, they'll find you at Harvard. And if what's most likely happens, which is you're not an NBA prospect, you are still probably the most talented player on your team. That sounds like fun, as opposed to being the ninth guy at a high major. You're still probably the most talented or one of the most talented players in your league, which sounds great, as opposed to, you know, being, a rotation player for a middle-of-the-pack ACC school. And then, this is the most important part, you leave college with a degree from an Ivy League institution with almost no, if not, with presumably no debt at all. And now, if you're not going to have a basketball career, the best thing you can have use basketball to do for you is create incredible opportunities, and I don't know that anything creates those opportunities quite like being at Harvard. Now, I can acknowledge that you do give up some things. Like, if it's your dream to play on ESPN every week, you ain't doing that at Harvard. If it's your dream to play in big arenas every game, you ain't doing that at Harvard. If it's your dream to go to the Final Four, probably ain't doing that at Harvard. If it's your dream to have charter flights, you ain't doing that at Harvard. But, and if you decide I want all those things and I'm willing to sacrifice the Ivy League education for that, nothing crazy about it. It's not stupid. It's sensible. That is what most people do. But I've always, not always, but I've for a while thought, if I had a child who was smart, adequately educated, and a consensus top 75 prospect in America. In other words, he's not a five-star kid. He's not in the top 50. He's somewhere between, say, 60 and 120. We would look at all the options on the table, but we would look at Ivy League options as well, because I think you start weighing pros and cons. The pros, at least from my 42-year-old perspective, seem to outweigh the cons.
Yeah, I mean, and there is I do think the fact that it's a 42-year-old perspective.
Like, sure.
I will say, no one will care at Harvard that you play basketball.
Right.
Like, if that matters to you, there won't be fans at the game, right? See, like, there's no Memphis Madness, right? there's nothing like that. And so from that perspective, it's a different environment. But, yes, I think it makes a lot of sense. so.
And then the other thing, and then we'll move on, is that though I am accurate when I say if you're ranked outside of the top 50, you are statistically unlikely. Like, the odds are drastically set against you ever making the NBA. The truth is, if you're ranked 60th in the country in your high school class, you've probably always been the best player or one of the two or three best players, even if you're on a grassroots Nike team, on your team. There's nothing that's happened to you in your life yet that suggests to you you're not actually going to make it to the NBA. You are statistically unlikely based on where you were ranked, but nothing that hadn't hit you yet, that it's not real. And most kids who are ranked in the 60s, they not only do they think they're going to the NBA despite their ranking, they think they're doing it in a year or two. So it's like, why would I go to Harvard and commit to, if I'm not going to be in school 4 years, what is the point of going to Harvard? So I might as well just go to Connecticut for 2 years, and then I'll be bouncing to the NBA. And like that's a real thing. Even if I could, with great detail point out how you're a little misguided, it doesn't change the fact that most 16, 17-year-old players ranked in the 60s are going to think that way. They're not planning to be in school very long, so they don't think of the value of the Ivy League education the way they probably should, which is what makes this young man who's doing it that much more impressive. I don't know if you saw the quote when he announced his commitment, but he didn't say, I've decided to play basketball at Harvard or I've decided to attend Harvard. He said, I've decided to spend the next 4 years at Harvard. He's not talking about two and done, three and done. I've decided I'm spending the next 4 years at Harvard. He's an elite basketball prospect who seems to put a real emphasis on education, and it's fascinating, at least from my perspective. I want to move on to the Tennessee Titans because I heard you and Jeffrey talking about it this morning. You put your poll up, and the answer that I thought would get the most votes actually did. How do Memphians feel about the Tennessee Titans? Do you love them? Do you hate them? Or do you not really care? And 54% of the votes were, I don't really care. And I do think that's an accurate reflection of the way Memphians feel about the Titans. It's weird. It's not weird in the sense that it doesn't make sense. It makes total sense, and we can go through the history to explain it if you want. But you would never think, and this is the point I made with Bennett earlier, like when you think of the Utah Jazz, in other words, other professional franchises that are identified by a state, not a city, the Utah Jazz, if I told you the second most significant, largest city in Utah, other than Salt Lake City, like really didn't care about the Utah Jazz at all, you'd be like, what? That doesn't make sense. And yet that is the case with the Tennessee Titans. Memphis is, given the Nashville's growth and where Memphis is undeniably the second most significant city in the state of Tennessee. And yet in Memphis, people really largely don't care about the Tennessee Titans at all.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard your conversation. Obviously, this is all, it depends on the specifics of the geography and the sort of the history of that state. I think Utah thinks of itself as one place, and there's, you know, and Salt Lake's the biggest city, but whereas, I mean, heck, the California Angels, they call themselves the California Angels, so right, once upon a time,
the Texas Rangers.
Before the Miami Marlins were the Miami Marlins, they were the Florida Marlins, and no one outside of Miami cared about them. So just because you slap the label on there doesn't necessarily mean, heck, the New York Yankees and the New York whatever, in Buffalo, we didn't really care about the New York Yankees. There was no other base. We didn't have a baseball team. And so it can happen one way, or it can happen that way or not. The only places I disagree with you is, I mean, you accurately explained all the reasons. To me, those reasons that you outlined about the history and how Memphis thought they were going to get a team and Nashville got the team, et cetera, I don't think that many people are that plugged in that history anymore. It might have set the table for how they feel, but I don't think they're really plugged in or actively still mad that Nashville got the team, that they didn't get the team. But if that's – then I actually think it would lend more towards bitterness than I don't care. I think the I don't care is just this very – it's just Nashville and Memphis are very different – just very different places. And I know you call people ridiculous who don't like Nashville.
No, you don't have to like Nashville, but when you go out of your way to scream Nashville sucks, that doesn't make sense to me.
But I don't think anyone who thinks Nashville sucks in the sense of it's a horrible city, and I would hate to live there because it's sheer misery and hell on earth. That's not what they say. They actually acknowledge that it's booming, there are cranes everywhere, and there's lots of good things about it. And we've had this conversation before. What they think sucks about Nashville is Nashville's attitude towards Memphis. It manifested in any number of ways. And to me, it's manifested the most viciously when you hear of some of the, you know, of Nashvilleians calling Memphis Memphricot kind of thing. But also, like, even today, Chris Harrington on Today of the Show, and we were talking about Bluff City Law, and he was talking about how the TV show that was set in Nashville got more money than the TV show, which is a more expensive show and should have gotten more money than the show is set in Memphis. So there's this feeling in Memphis that we get the short end of the stick. And then furthermore, Nashville also comes to represent, and this isn't about Nashville as much as it is the state government that's located in Nashville. It is the rest of the state and Nashville and the state government that won't let us take down statues that we want to take down or that whatever. And so I don't think anyone thinks Nashville sucks, like the restaurants don't serve good food or that, you know, anything like that. The truth is, most Nashvilles aren't preoccupied by Memphis one way or another. But I think that's the only thing. When I say Nashville sucks, I'm more inclined to say it than you do. It's only the attitude of Nashvillians towards Memphis or the way that Memphis is treated politically at the hands of Nashville that sucks. And I do think some of that is embedded in why we don't embrace the Titans. I was frankly surprised that 37%, I think it was, of people who responded to our poll said that they actively root for the Titans. That was a bigger number than I expected.
I can get down with, or at least respect, your stance on, I don't like Nashville because of the way Nashville treats Memphis or perceives Memphis. Like, that's real. It's just, it gets shrunken down.
It gets silly.
Let's say I knew Brad Pitt, right? And Brad Pitt treated me poorly. I wouldn't just start screaming, Brad Pitt's ugly. You know, I'd be like, Brad Pitt's an amazing-looking man who treats me poorly. That's what I would say.
If he didn't like you, you would instinctively dislike that person.
Yeah, but I'd still be like, God, I wish I looked like him. You know?
Yeah, but what you'd say is that person is a fat shamer because he's calling me fat. Yeah. I don't like the fact he's a fat shamer. Doesn't change the fact that you're fat and he's Brad Pitt, but it's still, you don't like the fact that he's calling you fat.
Right. So then I would just I would encourage people in Memphis who share your feelings on Nashville to better explain them. Say, man, I don't like the way people in Nashville talk about Memphis.
I don't like Nashville because they don't like me. Like, very clearly.
Just screaming Nashville sucks every time Nashville comes up just because you don't like the way Nashville treats you would be like if Brad Pitt tweeted me poorly and every time I saw him on TV, I was like, Brad Pitt's ugly. The accurate way to demonstrate my dislike for Brad Pitt would be, you know, I used to be around Brad Pitt sometimes, and I didn't like the way he treated me. He seemed to think he was superior to me, and that bothered me.
Well, can you just say Brad Pitt's a jackass? Could you just say that?
Yeah, let's be honest,
what you really mean is he's a jackass to you.
Yes.
But he's probably not a jackass to everybody else, but he's a jackass. So that's what he really means. Yeah, is that he treated you poorly. So that's fine. I get that. You're also, for a guy who is incredibly small and petty in certain ways, like all of us, you are so broad-minded when it comes to some things. Like, here you are talking about how much you love the freaking Atlanta Braves, even though they are competitors of the Mets. Most people aren't like that. Like, the basic sports pettiness, which is just embedded in fandom, you are above. And same thing, it's these civic rivalries. You're above them. Whereas you're not above other stuff. Like, this is within this, and this is where you are absolutely above it. You're like, I don't understand people who, like, I appreciate him because he's a great athlete. And he's, even though he's hitting the home runs against my team, what kind of craziness is that?
I don't know. I can't make sense of it.
With the pettiness, man.
It is. Well, like, I'm not above being petty. Like, there, as I was talking to Bennett earlier, I was like, you know, I really don't hate things. And that's not true. Like, I can tell you some things that I hate. But I don't have the sports pettiness. Like, I don't hate my favorite team's rivals or my alma mater's rivals or great players who play on different teams. I don't have the city pettiness. Like,
I hate Tom Brady.
I don't hate Tom Brady.
Of course, I don't really hate him. What the hell? What's there to hate about Tom Brady? I don't really hate him, but it's kind of fun to just embrace it. I don't know. Memphians hate Louisville. You know, what's wrong with that? Hate Louisville. Hate Denny Crum. Did you hate Denny Crum?
I do remember as a kid, like, not liking Denny Crum, but that was me as a kid. And I think maybe that was just from my parents. Maybe I just picked up on it because they hated Denny Crum. Like, I did have this moment. I was speaking at a coaching clinic several years ago, and the panel was me, Jeff Goodman, and then two retired coaches. One was Jim Herrick and one was Denny Crum. And it was me and Denny Crum sitting side by side. And I was like, I can't, like, the seven-year-old me can never have envisioned, like, I'm sitting here on a panel with Denny Crum. I used to hate this guy. And so, and he was a jerk, too, by the way. He couldn't have been worse. He was awful.
There you go.
So what we were discussing
That's good to hear. That's good to hear.
I like that.
We were discussing the panel was based on, and we were out in L.A., the panel was based on how coaches should deal with the media. And so somebody asked me, the moderators, like, Gary, like, from your experience dealing with college coaches, what have you gathered is beneficial? What is counterproductive? And I said, listen, I know that your instincts might be to button up and not trust the media because you've been burned. And I'm not even debating that some of you have probably been burned by somebody along the way. I'll just concede the point and accept that it's probably true. But my own personal experience is that if you are a basketball coach who has a beat writer or multiple beat writers, you're going to need them one day. Like, the worst spot you can find yourself in is to be in charge of a program that's struggling on the court or off the court, and you got no allies in the media. You got nobody to go on radio and tell your side of the story. You got nobody to go into a newspaper on a website and try to explain to your fans your side of things. Because the truth is, if people have a big enough voice or a strong enough pen, you know, I can tell your fans what to think about you. I'm pretty convincing. I do it for a living. You know, if I wanted to minimize the Tubby Smith stuff, I could have. If I wanted to ratchet it up, I was clearly capable of that. And so I said, I think my instincts, my experience at least, if I were given advice, I would tell you coaches to try to have a good relationship with your beat writers. I'm not even trying to be self-serving here. Like, you don't necessarily need to have a good relationship with me. I'm talking about in your city, around your program, the people who are most in touch on a daily basis with your fan base. It can benefit you in a variety of ways to have good relationships with those people. And so then the moderator goes to Denny Crum and says, Coach Crum, your response? And he said, I wouldn't trust any of these sons of bitches. I'm like, what? And I'm like, what? And then he just went on a rant about how evil the media is. And if you ever trust any of them, they'll put a knife right in your back. I was like, well, he just took my 7 minute reasonable perspective and just crapped on it completely. So, but anyway, I don't hate Denny Crum even despite that moment. But I did maybe have weird feelings about him when I was young. I don't hate, like, so. How about this? I grew up in Horn Lake when I was a kid. We were teenagers. I don't believe this is the case anymore. I don't know, but I don't think it. But it was intense when I was in high school. Like, South Haven was evil. It was Horn Lake and South Haven. Everybody at South Haven hated everybody. Everybody at South Haven looked down at Horn Lake, and so everybody at Horn Lake hated South Haven. And I swear to God, all these years later, like a quarter of a century later, there was one night a few years ago, I got some friends together at my house. I've got a poker table. We're playing poker, and some were from Horn Lake, and some were from South Haven. And I swear to God, I thought they were gonna get into a fight, like 40-year-olds, like 40-year-olds, and like one of the guys from Horn Lake was like, those MFers still think they're better than us, don't they? And I'm like, no, everybody's fine. What are you talking about? We're 40 years old. Now, I saw the way he's looking at me. I'm like, so what are you going to do? You're going to fist fight the South Haven High graduate in my driveway? Like, what are we doing? Like, what? But, like, that was a real – and so, like – but I don't ever really – perhaps when I was a kid I had that. But, like, I don't have it now. I don't – like, the way that my friends, some of them still have it now. So I don't have any of that kind of hate stuff that normal people – that most people have. The only thing, and I think this is sincere, the only thing that I hate is people trying to talk to me when they don't know what they're talking about, or people talking about me when they don't know what they're talking about. Like, I had a buddy send me a link yesterday. I was driving home. He was like, dude, you got to go check out this message board. There's this long conversation, and it's just about you. And there's, like, one guy in there. He's, like, the president of your fan club, and the other guys in there are just all over you. And I was like, I paused for a second. I was like, why would you send me that? Like, why do I? That can't be healthy.
I hope you didn't click on it. Did you click on it?
Yeah. Well, he goes. I'm like, why would you do it? Why would you send that to me? Like, it can't be healthy for me to look
didn't
at that.
Didn't you see President Obama said you? What did he say? He said you're not supposed to be on social media and you're not supposed to. He said something recently about this. You're not supposed to be on social media. He had a Twitter account.
Sure.
You shouldn't watch the news. I think he said that or something. something recently. Like, I'm kind of down with that.
Right.
Like,
So my buddy sent it to me, and like I'm driving, so I'm just like whatever. And then I get home and I'm watching baseball, and little Lou was at my mother's house last night, and so I like had more free time than I usually do. And I was like, I'm just sitting here, like I'll click on that, and so I'm reading it, and it really like didn't even bother me because what bothers me is when people say things about me that are true. And also like, ugh, like that's, man, he got me there. But it's just like a long list of people making terrible points. They don't even, like, I don't mean to be dismissive, but they're discussing a topic. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just, and I could dive in there real quickly and be like, you actually have it all wrong. Here it is all right. And they would probably, I think, for the most part, say, oh, okay, I didn't realize that. Thanks for explaining it. I'm not going to spend my time doing it. But like watching people discuss me or things that I've said and consistently misrepresenting it and then crapping on it, like I hate that. That drives me crazy.
Well, Brad Pitt being fat drives me crazy. That's what drives me crazy.
If that's the whole list of things that drive me crazy, I'm living a pretty good life. I'm living a pretty good life, so I'm going to keep living my pretty good life.
Go Titans. Tighten up.
Tighten up, Bennett. Tonight's the night. All right, Jeff Cargis. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. That's all I hate.
I don't blame you.
And I don't even mind, to be clear, and I said this yesterday, like when I'm talking about the Fair Pay for Play Act, right? Sometimes people are like, oh, if you disagree, then you're wrong, right? No, there are sensible ways to disagree with my position, with California lawmakers, New York lawmakers' position on the Fair Pay for Play Act. It's just that I never see people disagree in a sensible way. They mischaracterize everything, or they simply do not know what they're talking about. Like, if you are actually against the Fair Pay for Play Act, here's the way you should argue it. I'll help you guys. Put this on your Facebook page. Next time you're arguing with your friends, use this. If you're against players being able to profit off name, image, and likeness, here's your argument. I'll give it to you. I don't believe it. I think it's wrong, but it's at least sensible. It would show you have a basic concept of the topic. Here's what you'd say. Listen, nobody puts a gun to anybody's head and makes them accept a scholarship to go to a university. If young people genuinely want to profit off their name, image, and likeness, be compensated to be an athlete, just don't go to one of these universities. The programs won't shut down.
Yep.
Nobody will come and kidnap you and make you go to Michigan or Memphis or Kentucky or anywhere else. If you feel like you're being exploited by going to a university and getting a scholarship and a cost of attendance stipend and traveling on private planes and staying in 5-star hotels and playing in amazing arenas and getting access to the unbelievable coaching and unbelievable training staffs, if you think you're still getting exploited after all that, just don't accept the deal and they'll go find somebody else. But college is going to be tied to amateurism forever and always, as it should. And if you don't believe that, then go find something else to do. Nobody is upset when R.J. Hampton goes to New Zealand to be a professional. In fact, that is an option available to him. And so he weighed that against going to college and decided to go to that option. Good for him. We wish him well. We'll find somebody else who is willing to accept the deal that we have on the table, and we'll fill out our teams one way or another. If you're against fair pay for play, that's the way you argue against it. But too often, and by too often I mean almost always, people are just arguing against it from nonsensical angles, and it makes my head hurt. Be back in a second.
SAS, the most successful sports information system ever created. 25 straight years of winning. Featured on CNBC, Fox News, ESPN. SAS has not only shown profit every year since its inception, it is completely transparent. Rating winners in unit values of 1 to 3 units. 3 units being a max play. SAS is releasing a 3-unit max play tonight, absolutely free on a recorded message. Call now, 800-741-1122. confident in this system, and so certain of its results, they want you to try it absolutely free, no obligations. Call now and get the winner of Tennessee Jacksonville tonight, absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. Profits of 7 units tonight, absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. That's 1-800-741-1122. Tennessee Jacksonville, free.
Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. If you're average and you're looking for a new pair of running or walking shoes, I suggest you go to an average shoe store, where they'll sell you a pair of average shoes built for the average athlete with average size feet. But here's the thing. You're not average. No one is. We all exercise differently, we run differently, and walk differently, and our feet come in all sorts of widths and lengths. That's why, at the New Balance Memphis store, we employ fit specialists who will conduct an in-depth analysis of your foot's size and shape, along with your gait, and then determine the best New Balance shoes custom fit to you. Because New Balance isn't your average shoe, and you're not average either. Experience the difference an unaverage custom fit makes today at the New Balance Memphis store, located in Cordova Shopping Center on Germantown Parkway behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis, your feet will thank you.
It's here, the 2019 Ford F-150 XLT, the truck you've always wanted, now with an offer you'd never expect. For a limited time, get a premium leather interior and a full spray-on or drop-in bed liner at no extra charge. The luxury you want with an offer you can't pass up. Hurry, this no-charge premium leather and liner offer ends soon. Katzen Premium Leather, valued at $1,695. Bedliner $450 equals total package value of $2,145. See your Ford dealer for details.
There are a lot of SUVs on the road today, but many SUVs lack in sport and utility, not Ford SUVs.
Don't let me go.
Because Ford SUVs offer intelligent four-wheel drive, not to mention ruggedness and versatility.
Your first name is free. Last name is down.
Which means you can drive it like an SUV is meant to be driven. And you can drive it like a Ford.
So Laura had a home out in East Memphis. She wanted to sell it. She did what I've been telling you to do for years. She got in touch with Josh Heisel. He went to work, got 19 showings in just a matter of a few days. He sold Laura's home in East Memphis for the full asking price. How did he do it? He did it with a 45-day guarantee. It's a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. Josh Heisel is able to do this because he's experienced, he's effective, he understands how to expose your home to the most buyers with the best marketing strategy, he understands how to negotiate for the most money possible. But the first step is Josh Heisel simply helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive. You guys agree on a price, he goes to work, and then if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed-upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. You put totally up to you. And it's a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh Heisel doesn't obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, you can fire him. No questions asked. He's got flexible fees, no upfront costs. So if you're trying to sell a home, get in touch with the only real estate agent I would use if I wanted to sell my home. It's Josh Heisel, 461-8147. He's on the web, joshsellsthemidsouth.com.
The internet. You need it. Almost every minute of the day. Because, hey, you've got shows to stream, emails to reply all to, and LOLs to, LOL. That's why you need Xfinity. You can get the fastest, most reliable internet with gig speeds available. So you can get online and get down to business faster. And Xfinity delivers enhanced network security so all your connected devices are protected. Get instant alerts when strangers are trying to hop on your network, set curfews with parental controls, and pause your Wi-Fi at dinner time. That's life with Xfinity, the best internet provider in America, according to speedtest.net. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Plus, add xFi Advantage for enhanced network security, safer browsing, and more. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Requires equal bill and autopay. Ends 9/24/19. Restrictions apply. New performance starter 25 megabits per second internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
Hi, I'm Brett Clark, operating partner of Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. On Sunday, our $48 Sunday table features 7 ounces of sliced filet mignon over mashed potatoes with your choice of salad and dessert. On Monday, $55 gets you 8 ounces of buttery filet and delicate North Atlantic lobster tail with salad and dessert. And finally, on Tuesday, come in for Tomahawk Tuesday. That's 2 salads, 2 side items, 2 desserts, and a 35-ounce prime tomahawk ribeye to share for only $120. Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. We use food and wine to create memorable times.
It's happening. Wherever cupcakes are being frosted, songs are being recorded, and engines are being tuned, ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
Discount travel sites say they have the best prices, but Hilton.com has the price match guarantee. Look me in the eye. If you find a better rate, they match it and take 25% off. Yeah, well, this is radio, so just stare at the radio. Hilton.com has the best prices. Pinky swear. Or, you know, radio swear. Plus, you can choose your exact room and get free Wi-Fi. Cross my heart, stick a needle in my radio. Expect better. Expect Hilton.
Must be a Hilton Honors member. Applicable terms and conditions at Hilton.com. Pinky swear.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
If you weren't around in the first hour, had Jake Weingarten on. He is the owner of StockRisers.com. Interesting young guy, just 18 years old, from New York, student at Louisville, but he's like become a legitimate recruiting source in the world of college basketball. So I talked college basketball recruiting with him. We talked about a number of things, including the possibility of Paolo Banchero, five-star prospect from Seattle, teaming up in college with Kennedy Chandler, five-star prospect Briarcrest Christian. But the most interesting thing he said was that Musa Cisse, the young man, top 10 prospect in the country, class of 2021, junior at Lausanne Collegiate School, he said, and this is his word, not mine, is a lock to Memphis at this point. And he didn't just mean graduate high school in Memphis. He meant enroll at the University of Memphis. So I think we've all assumed, anybody with a brain, once a 6'11 center from New York City moves to Memphis, and Memphis has recruited him, that there's got to be a connection on some level somewhere that suggests he's going to end up playing for Penny Hardaway. And at least one recruiting analyst, Jake Weingarten, believes that's the case. He also said he went to high school that played against Cisse's high school all the time, so he's seen him a lot. Tremendous rim protector, incredible shot blocker, and according to Jake Weingarten, future Memphis Tiger. If you missed that interview, you can go find it on the podcast. We'll be back with Dinner to Go.
Become a 92.9 FM ESPN Locker Room Club member now. Sign up on our homepage at 92.9ESPN.com.
This is Andy Wise. For 20 years, I was Memphis TV's chief consumer investigator. I'm out of TV news now, but I'm still your consumer investigator. I've launched my own consumer advocacy venture called Wise Choices at AndyWiseChoices.com, where I still work for your protection and where I endorse local companies with your best interest. And one of those companies is Cooper Systems. I came to know Cooper Systems when I partnered with Lee and Lauren Cooper and their staff on an undercover investigation of computer repair businesses. Lee and his crack technicians helped me uncover some pretty bad deals. They helped me hold lesser computer repair shops accountable. For over 26 years, Cooper Systems has been solving computer problems honestly and at a fair price. You want reputation? You want locally owned? You want an impeccable record? You want Cooper Systems. For the best in computer repair, virus removal, data recovery, crack screens, for active customers, they'll even come to your house to repair your computer. Cooper Systems also has great deals on new and refurbished PCs and Apple Macs, desktops, laptops, and printers and monitors, too. For all of your computer needs, trust Cooper Systems to be your wise choice.
Hey, this is John Martin. I'm back to tell you about my favorite spot in Memphis, the Blue Monkey. In case you've forgotten, and you shouldn't forget, they have great burgers, some of the best in Memphis, especially the barbecue bacon burger with black Angus meat topped with melted cheddar cheese, crisp bacon, and tangy barbecue sauce. And also, don't forget steak night every Tuesday at the downtown location and Thursday at the midtown location. They offer a 7 or 10 ounce filet or 12 ounce and 16 ounce prime rib that is slow roasted and just plain awesome. On steak night, they also feature a choice of salad and a side. They got house made ranch dressing and the twice baked potato. I recommend both. They got two locations, 513 South Front Street downtown and 2012 Madison Avenue in Midtown. And find them on the web at bluemonkeymemphis.com.
Live team trivia and karaoke every Wednesday and Thursday. Bring a team and win some green. Live music at the Blue Monkey Midtown on Friday night, Outer Ring. Saturday, Watt Moon.
The Smile Center is making a move, relocating to a new location and joining forces with Dr. Pat Clark's office. But don't worry, they're moving. They're not changing. You're still going to get the same friendly, outstanding dental care that you're accustomed to. And the Smile Center now going to be able to provide additional services such as sedation dentistry. The move, the Smile Center will be at 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101 in Germantown. Same days and hours, just a new and improved location at the corner of Germantown Road and Farmington, right next to MedPost. As you know, the Smile Center is headlined by Dr. Mady Sedation. He's my dentist, he's my wife's dentist, he's my children's dentist, and what makes this place, the Smile Center, great is the fact that the folks in the office take care of you and treat you like family. You never feel like you're going to the dentist as much as you feel like you're going to see friends. So if you need a dentist, look no further than the Smile Center, which is on the move. The new location at 1941 South Germantown Road. For more information, visit SmileCenterMemphis.com or just call them 901-309-1333.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. When our clients come to us for representation, I see way more than a client. I see me. When I hear someone has a herniated disc or a back injury, I think, what if that was me? How would that impact my life? I put myself in your shoes and in your life. When I look at your family, I see my family. This outlook makes my firm think differently than most. I understand that some injuries are forever, and forever is a very long time. For 30 years, we've helped hundreds of thousands recover what they deserve. $1 billion last year alone. Why? Because you are us. You are me. Every time we hear your stories, we feel like it's us. If you're injured in a car crash, slip and fall, or the victim of medical malpractice, call us because we care. Dial pound law on your cell phone. That's pound 529. Morgan & Morgan. For the people.
It's the once-a-year half-off everything sale at Robert Irwin Jewelers. If it's in the case, it's half-off, except loose diamonds. This Friday and Saturday only, all four locations. This is the one half-off everything sale in every case at Robert Irwin Jewelers.
Inside of your home looking great, but the outside not so much? Call DoorPro and have them install a new garage door by Amar Garage Doors and enhance the beauty of your home. Choose from carriage house, traditional, or maybe a specialty door. They have thousands of styles to choose from. Improve the look of your home immensely without the cost of a total remodel. DoorPro, an authorized dealer of Amar Garage Doors. Same-day service available if you call before 10 a.m. Just call 901-DOOR-PRO. That's 901-366-7776. DoorPro, online at doorproinc.com.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC. Instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Uses directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
Get to us a Sunday.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
If you've noticed cracks in the bricks above your garage, you do not need to ignore them, because it's not the type of problem just going to go away on its own or stop right there. It's the type of problem that's going to eventually become a bigger, more expensive problem unless you address it, if not immediately, something close to immediately, because what it suggests is that you've got a lintel problem. Now, it's a common problem, but it's still a bad problem. But American Standard Foundation, they can fix it for you. They offer a lintel lift, which is the only patented system for lintel repairs that exists. They can fix everything, all your issues, without having to rebuild your entire garage door area. That's how they could save you literally thousands of dollars. Now, as I've explained, I understand, like, sometimes you see stuff and you go, it'll probably be okay. Not going to worry about it. And, you know, in some cases, you might be right. In this case, you would not be right. It'd be a dumb approach as it pertains to this specific problem, because once you see those cracks above your garage, serious damage is on the way. It could be weeks. I'm not trying to tell you it's going to be tomorrow. It might not be tomorrow. It could be weeks. It could be months. But eventually, the real damage is going to be there, and then you're going to have a very expensive problem on your hands. So when you pull into your home tonight, look above your garage. See if you see any cracks in the bricks above your garage. I hope you don't. That'd be awesome. But if you do, just do the smart thing and get in touch with American Standard Foundation. You can get a free quote for the patented lintel lift repair solution. Two ways to do that. One is the website, asfoundationrepair.com, asfoundationrepair.com, or you can just give them a call, 901-390-5568, 390-5568. If you go to that website, asfoundationrepair.com, just click the lintel lift tab. You'll find it, lintel lift tab. Do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but we're mostly focused on the Tennessee Titans in advance of tonight's game against the Jaguars, Thursday Night Football. I tried to explain why Memphians don't seem to care that much about Tennessee's statewide football team that's covered by the word Tennessee, not Nashville Titans, but Tennessee Titans. So I think we basically nailed it down fairly okay in the first segment, Bennett. So if anybody missed it, go check the podcast. I ain't got time to go over it again with you.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Titans-Jaguars, Thursday Night Football. It's a showdown between division rivals, Bennett Doyle.
Yep.
Going to take place down in Jacksonville. Jalen Ramsey, the all-pro defensive back who has requested a trade, is expected to play for Jacksonville. Titans enter 1-1. Jaguars 0-2. Tennessee, 1.5-point favorite tonight. The total's 38.5. Kick scheduled for 7:20. You can watch that on the NFL Network.
What should I watch on TV?
The Last Days of Phil Hartman is a special on tonight.
Oh, I heard about this.
It's on ABC tonight at 8 o'clock. You know Phil Hartman?
Oh, yeah.
SNL character, cast member.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.